Welcome to the Irish Times Politics Podcast. I'm Anna O'Kelly. In this edition, Mary Minahan discusses Enda Kenny and his chances of success at the European Union summit, which is aimed at stopping the Eurozone debt crisis from spreading. If he fails to win any concessions, how damaging would this be for Fianna Gael, considering it was such a central plank in the party's election campaign? Also, while only in the job a few weeks, is it too early to judge how the 19 independents will affect the country's political agenda? But first to the Moriarty Report. Divisions have emerged between the coalition parties over the contents of this controversial report. Enda Kenny has described the 2,200-page document as a serious report and has accepted it was wrong for his party to accept a donation of $50,000 from Telenor, which was a member of the consortium that was awarded the second mobile phone licence. I first asked Mary Minahan if she thought this would prove damaging for Fianna Gael or for the relationship between Fianna Gael and the Labour Party.
Enda Kenny, the new Taoiseach, has surprised us a few times in recent weeks, and he may do so again. In terms of how damaging or otherwise this controversy surrounding the Moriarty Tribunal report turns out to be, it very much depends on the strategy adopted by the new government and Labour Party leader, Eamon Gilmore. Yesterday very clearly said that the former Fine Gael Communications Minister, Michael Lowry, should resign from the Dáil in the aftermath of the publication of the Moriarty Tribunal report. He really couldn't have been any clearer. He said he was mindful of the fact that 14,000 plus people in Mr. Lowry's constituency of Tipperary North gave him their first preference votes last month. However, Mr. Gilmore said it remained his view that Mr. Lowry should step down. And I think he was being quite political in his comments and quite unafraid, really, of opening up a gap between the coalition partners. You know, he was questioned, obviously, about the criticisms in the tribunal about the handling of the $50,000 donation to Fine Gael in 1995. The report found that that payment was made on behalf of ESAT, the Gifone, at the instigation of Dennis O'Brien. Mr. Gilmore kind of said he welcomed that Fine Gael had acknowledged that that matter could have been handled differently, i.e. better, and he stressed that donations of that size would be illegal under current law, and he was very keen to stress that, in his view, that was because of legislation that Labour had introduced the last time it was in government, and he repeatedly stressed what the new administration intended to do around corporate donations, that is, to ban them completely, and also to introduce a legislation to register lobbyists and ensure that, he said, what is described in the Moriarty report is something entirely of the past. So while we're very clear about what Labour thinks, we're not so clear about what Fine Gael thinks, and I think there was some hope within Fine Gael yesterday that perhaps Mr. Gilmore was only expressing a personal view that wasn't the view of the entire Labour Party. But look, I think when a Taoiseach makes a statement like that, he's not speaking for himself. And indeed, we did confirm that with a Labour spokesman who confirmed that that was the view of the party. So that makes things a little bit trickier for Fine Gael. Naturally enough, the largest opposition party, Fianna Fáil, sees an open goal here and isn't going to turn away from it. Personally, I think Fianna Fáil is walking quite a delicate tightrope when it approaches subjects like this, because, well, for one thing, the last administration was very much dependent on Michael Lowry for numbers, particularly towards the dying days of that coalition, whenever you know, the Green Party left the administration and various independent TDs went overboard. Matthew McGrath, the former Fianna Fáil TD, gave up his support for the government. So really, Michael Lowry was an essential component of the last administration. The administration required his support for the finance bill and was involved in very detailed negotiations with him towards the, as I say, the dying days of that administration. When Mr. Martin tried to bring up the topic of the $50,000 donation to Fine Gael in 1995 in the Dáil, he was really, the whole house kind of erupted in laughter. I know that's indicative of the size of the coalition's majority, but really people thought it was a bit much for a Fianna Fáil leader to be talking in this way about tribunals, and the word unbelievable was heard from quite a number of deputies. So it is quite difficult. Fianna Fáil has to adopt quite, I suppose, a delicate approach to this topic. But As I say, they can't really resist it. Sinn Féin also will be adopting a similar tack. Mr. Adams, we've just spoken to him this morning outside the gates of Leinster House, Gerry Adams, the Sinn Féin Dáil leader, and he believes that Mr. Lowry should step down. And when he says that, he's echoing what Mr. Martin says, and he's also echoing what Mr. Gilmore says. We look forward, obviously, to what Mr. Kenny is going to say about this next week when the Moriarty Tribunal report is debated in the Dáil. We don't know what he's going to say. As I say, he's surprised us a number of times in the past couple of weeks, and he may do so again. Obviously, what's concerning Mr. Kenny at the moment is the summit in Brussels. It's going to be a difficult one. He's no longer seeking an immediate deal for lower interest rates on bailout loans, and he won't propose any concession to his EU counterparts when he meets them this evening now in Brussels. I think our expectations of this two-day European summit have been somewhat lowered, really, by the crisis in Portugal. And what we're more concerned about, I suppose, is the interest rate question, and that's going to be parked now until the bank stress tests are completed sometime next week. Obviously, what's happened in Portugal kind of overrides what's happening here in Ireland. So while there will be a lot of media attention and interest from Ireland in this European summit, and there has been a lot of looking forward to it, I don't think it's quite going to be as important maybe as we thought it was going to be. But eventually, Enda Kenny will have to secure some kind of concessions. If not at this summit, then at a later summit. If he doesn't do that, that's really going to be damaging. It really is, because that's basically what the election promises from Fine Gael and the Labour Party were built on. So if he doesn't manage to secure something there, that's really going to be very, very difficult for him. I wouldn't say the honeymoon period is over just quite yet, although things were looking a bit dicey at the start of the week. I think what the events of the past week show is that no matter how carefully a political party prepares, no matter what sort of positive strategies it puts in place, proactive things like cutting government ministers' pays, taking away the ministerial Mercedes for ex-presidents, former Taoiseach, and for government ministers, bar a few very top senior people. Politics will always throw up weird and wonderful surprises. That's the beauty of politics for observers like ourselves, and that's the horror of politics for participants like the politicians. It's very interesting that the two things that they kind of went out blazing on in the election campaign, that they would secure concessions on the EU-IMF bailout deal, number one, and number two, that they would introduce this new clean politics where they banned corporate donations and introduced a register of lobbyists and so on, are being absolutely tested now in the very, very early stages of the coalition. And when you think about what's going on in the background, okay, we've got our ministers in place, we've got our junior ministers in place, but they don't really quite have that support network that a government that's been in place for a very long time can depend on. They're still getting to know their senior servants within their departments. Their own staff aren't quite in place. There are a lot of quite nervous looking handlers floating around, not quite sure whether they're going to get a job or not, but really hoping for the best. So it's all slightly precarious. In terms of how I would rate Mr. Kenny, I think he's had a good couple of weeks. He had a bad day in the Dáil the day before yesterday, when he really wasn't able to say too much about the Moriarty Tribunal report. I suppose, in fairness to him, it was the best kept secret in Ireland. Mr. Kenny only found out it was being published on his way into the Cabinet meeting on Tuesday. Yesterday he came into the Dáil much more prepared. He had things to say. He was able to tell the Dáil he had told his Minister for Communications, Pat Rabbitt, to refer this report to the DPP and the Garda Commissioner. He talked quite frankly about the 50,000 donation to Fine Gael in 1995. He said the way that was handled was wrong, and he very much regretted the circuitous route that donation took to find its way back to its donor, Dennis O'Brien. And he also put it up to Fianna Fáil when he said that no leader of a Fine Gael party had ever benefited from whip-arounds at a dinner. It's probably too early to judge the independence impact on the political agenda. I think obviously there's been a lot of interest for colour writers in particular. This new doll is a complete gift. You've got all sorts of people in there, like the independent TD Luke Ming-Flanagan. You've got people like Mick Wallace, you know, who are literally adding a bit of colour to the place. Now, I feel that some of them may become a little bit disillusioned with what they find in Leinster House. They will be muted, I think, by procedures. I think they're being allowed a little bit of latitude by the new Can Corla, Sean Barrett, in the early stages of this new doll. And we are hearing semi-frequently from people like Luke Ming-Flanagan, Mick Wallace, and a number of other independents, Stephen Donnelly and so on. However, I think as the weeks and months go on, they will unfortunately sort of find their place, and they won't find that place to be a very good one or a very vocal one because of the very strict rules and regulations surrounding speaking time in Leinster House. I think already the leader's question session is hugely expanded because you have Micheál Martin speaking for Fianna Fáil, you have then Gerry Adams speaking for Sinn Féin. I'm not sure whether or not Mr. Adams is used to more latitude from the chair in the Northern Assembly, but he does tend to ramble a little bit. He talked about yesterday, obviously, he brought up the topic of the Moriarty Tribunal, in particular the 50,000 donation to Fine Gael, and he said it read like a novel. Now, unfortunately, there isn't room, there isn't time for that kind of an intervention in Leinster House. Really, I think the deputies need to learn too that their input should have the brevity of a tweet rather than the sort of expanse of an epic War and Peace type novel. There just isn't time for that kind of thing. Then, of course, we also have the technical group, and they have a variety of spokespeople. Yesterday, there was an input from Shane Ross. Obviously, he's familiar with how Parliament works, having spent so long in the Shannon. But then, as I say, these independents, they have varied views. It's difficult to see how they will be able to get their views across. The government majority is so huge. I'm still getting my head around sitting up in the press gallery and just looking at the size of the government majority. You really need to be in the chamber to fully appreciate how much space, how much physical space the government takes up while the opposition is crushed with Gerry Adams and Micheál Martin's parties crushed beside each other, and then the independents literally tucked away into the corner. So in terms of an impact, they may find it difficult to make an impact within the chamber. You may find that they resort to speaking out in the media. Indeed, Luke Ming-Flanagan has already warned that he will do that when he spoke on the first day in Leinster House, and he didn't quite get the attention he felt he deserved. Other TDs were chatting amongst themselves, and he warned that he would go to the media. And you can be sure he will find his voice there. He's kind of given us a nice quirky story to close the week where he has revealed controversially that he's quitting cannabis to put the issues that matter to him on the centre stage. He said, and I think I agree with him actually, that he thinks the media has become somewhat addicted to his smoking habits, and he's putting down the joint. He's not going to continue to smoke cannabis in Ireland, he stresses, and he says now that he hopes he will receive the same treatment as former Taoiseach Brian Cowan, the current minister, Leo Varadkar, and the former MEP, Owen Ryan of Fianna Fáil, all of whom have admitted in previous interviews to having tampered with cannabis. So Mr. Flanagan hopes to receive the same serious treatment now from the media as those people.